Good to be in church this morning. I'm thankful for church. I'm thankful for Sunday school. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. Sunday school this morning. Definitely was a time that God used to work on my heart. You know, in prayer before the service, I had to apologize to God. Because I know I'm not the man that I ought to be for Him. Is so good to me. I haven't done anything for Him. I don't want to get to heaven and be sorry for how I lived here. You know, getting to heaven should be a time of glory. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to go down when I see Jesus, but I'm afraid I might feel shame. God has done so much for me, and yet somehow I can find a way to complain. It's amazing how much good is going on around me. I can still find something to be upset about. I have nothing to be upset about. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. Yet I can still get to work and see my schedule, complain that it's too much. Understand how God shows me grace every day. I just don't get it. I have absolutely nothing to complain about. I ought to be rejoicing every second of every day. And I had to apologize to God for that this morning. And I want to apologize to you guys too. Because I ought to be a better Christian. I ought to be a better help. I ought to pray more for everyone here. I ought to be in the Word more. And I ask that you pray for me. I don't know if you've noticed, but God's been doing a work on my heart this morning. I was thinking about what the pastor was talking about this morning, having that soil, that rich soil, and comparing it to my heart. And I'd love to tell myself that I have rich soil, but I highly doubt it in God's eyes. I pray that God changes my heart and makes it soft. Well, I'm sitting in my comfortable home that I don't get comfortable, and I don't forget the fact that there are coworkers and friends and family members that if they would die right now, they will spend an eternity in hell. And what have I done today to keep them from going there? Pray for me that I'd be a better witness and that I would do more for Christ. He's done everything for me. Brother Jim Bush, would you open us up with a word of prayer, please? I invite you to stand with me and turn to page number 51. Page number 51. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior all the day long. This is my story. You to turn to page 380. Page number 380. The song title is Jesus Saves. If you're saved here today, you know that. But we ought to spread that news.
We have heard the joyful sound.
Turn with me to page 417. Page 417. It is well with my soul. I am thankful for that. We are going to sing this song a cappella.
When peace like a river attends.
With my soul.
cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so,
amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Before I begin this morning, I want to read a few things to you. Hudson Taylor said, he's a missionary to China. Hudson Taylor said, there are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then, it is difficult. Then, it is done. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Hudson Taylor said, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. He says, it's not so much the greatness of our troubles as the littleness of our spirit which makes us complain. Not by discussion nor by argument, but by lifting up Christ shall we draw men unto Him. He said, it is no small comfort to me to know that God has called me to my work, putting me where I am and as I am. I have not sought the position, and I dare not leave it. He knows why He places me here, whether to do or learn or suffer. God wants you to have something far better than riches and gold, and that is helpless dependency upon Him. I'll read that one again. Hudson Taylor said, God wants you to have something far better than riches and gold, and that is a helpless dependency upon Him. Let us give up our work, our thoughts, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into His hand. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about or to make trouble about. The real secret of an unsatisfied lies too often in an unsurrendered will. He said the real secret of an unsatisfied life lies too often in an unsurrendered will. Before I preach this morning, are you hungry this morning? I'm not talking about physical hunger. I'm talking about a spiritual hunger. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. David said in Psalm 63, David said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Do you have a hunger this morning? Do you have a hunger for the word of God? Do you have a hunger to draw closer to the Lord? Do you have a hunger to draw closer to one another in the love of Jesus Christ? Do you have a hunger to reach the lost? Do you have a hunger to do the will of God this morning? If you could, if you wouldn't mind, if you please stand for the reading of God's word this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 1. This morning we'll continue on in our lesson with Asa, King Asa. King Asa was a good man. King Asa loved God. The Bible says King Asa, his heart was perfect toward the Lord. And so this morning I'd like to read a little bit more about King Asa, about the good that he did and what God helped him with, but also how he kind of let things slip away towards the end in a sense. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and unto him, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble and in trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you what you've already done, dear God. I thank you what you've already done in my heart. And Lord, just thank you for this building. Thank you for the air that we have, Lord. Thank you for the clothes that we have on, Lord, for shoes on our feet, dear God, for food in our stomachs, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, for vehicles to get here this morning. And dear God, Lord, above all those things, way, way, way above all those things, not even worthy to be compared to those things, dear God, thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which took away the sins of the world. And Lord, I thank you for that perfect salvation that you've given us. Lord, I thank you this morning, dear God, that it is well with my soul. And Lord, I pray this morning as we go forward, Lord, if there's someone here that's never been truly born again, dear God, Lord, that they're not sure that it's well with their soul, Lord, I pray you'd show them. I pray you'd open their eyes. I pray you'd open their ears. And I pray most importantly, Lord, you'd open their hearts, Lord God, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I ask for your help now this morning. Give me the words to speak, lead, guide, and direct. May everything be done for your glory and in the right spirit. We ask these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he came to speak some words to Asa, and not only to Asa, but to also Judah and Benjamin. And he says some things there. He says that the Lord, in the latter part of verse number 2, Azariah says, "By the Spirit of God, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." What a God that we serve this morning that will send words of encouragement after a great victory. You see, Asa trusted God. If you look back in chapter 15, or chapter 14 and verse number 11, when faced with over a million soldiers from the Ethiopians, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Asa faced a great enemy, but Asa had even a greater God. Asa knew who to cry out to in times of trouble, and God answered the prayer of King Asa, and God gave a great victory over the Ethiopians. Not only did God give him a victory over the Ethiopians, as we looked at last week, but God gave him victory with spoils. God just didn't give him victory over his enemy. God gave him some of the cities to take back from the enemy. God gave him those cities, and then God gave him spoils to take back to Judah and Benjamin. And when he returned, the Bible says that he had a lot of sheep, camels in abundance, and Asa offered sacrifices to God. But now we find that a prophet comes to Asa with the Spirit of God upon him, and he gives Asa some advice, some thoughts and wisdom gained from this victory. You know, after he has this victory, God's good enough to come back and say, okay, now that you got this victory, Asa, you did the right thing, Asa. Azariah comes and says, by the Spirit of God, Asa, you did the right thing. But I'm going to give you some keys, Asa, after your great victory, that will hopefully you'll keep in the back of your mind, that will help you with the other battles that are going to come up in your life, Asa. Asa, yeah, you got a great victory over the Ethiopians, but Asa, there's going to be more battles you're going to have to face. And until God calls us home someday, it may be a time of peace and safety right now in our lives, but we always have to be prepared for the next battle. We have to be prepared for the next battle. You see, we can't live off of what we did in the past. We have to go forward with God today. And God gives Asa some wisdom, some insight after this great victory. The Bible, Azariah says, the Lord is with them while they are with him. He says to Asa, if you seek him, he will be found. But then he also gives a warning to Asa in verse number 2. He says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Take your Bible and look at James chapter 4, verse number 8. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. James chapter 4. And look at verse number 8. We'll start verse 7. James 4, 7. The Bible says here in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first key. That's the first key for victories in our life, right there, submission. A lot of people don't want to submit. You know why a lot of people don't get truly, genuinely saved? Is because they're not willing to submit to God. They still want to be their God, yet still have the true God. They won't submit. Brethren, we had a situation the other day, my wife and I, with an individual, and they base, from what it appeared like, they base everything that they believe within their structure of their denomination more so off of what they feel rather than what does the Bible say. You see, this morning, I don't want to just do what I feel. I want to do what this book says. You see, this is the rule book. This is the statute guide. This is the military, that SOP, standard operating procedures. This is why we believe what we believe. This is why we do what we do, because of what the Bible says. Not because of what I feel, but what does the Bible say? And see, if I go off of what I feel, then everything is relative and dictated by what I feel. If I feel it's all right for a man to marry another man, then I can do it because I just feel that it's all right, because God is love and God would allow that. But what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? You see, I don't want the Word of God, because if I read the Word of God, then it's going to tell me and convict me and say, that's wrong and that's sin. Or that's right and that honors me. You see, James says in chapter 4, verse 7, submit. Submit yourselves to what? Therefore to God. You can't get victory over the devil till you submit yourself to God. Because then look what he says next. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to resist. You have to resist for the devil to flee. Verse number 8 though. Kind of back to what it said there. Azariah said to Asa, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And look what happens. And he shall lift you up. You see, this morning, if you'll submit yourselves to God, if you'll resist the devil, if you'll do what's right, if you'll draw nigh to God after you submit to God, and you're willing to cleanse your hands by the blood of Jesus Christ, and purify your hearts, and be not double-minded. You see, you won't get the victories you want in your life if you won't cleanse your heart and your mind and your hands. You cannot, listen, brethren, I'm telling you this morning, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot have the best of both worlds and expect to get victory. It's either for the Lord Jesus Christ or you're dabbling in the world where you ought not to be. And if you're trying to have God in one hand and the world in the other hand, you're going to have a most miserable life as a believer. Because the world doesn't want you no more because you're changed. And God says, listen, we can't walk together unless we be agreed. So now you're stuck in this muck and this dry land, this land that brings no victory. You're not facing your giants. You're not getting the victory you want. Or maybe you're just content with that. But there's some keys here for some great victories. Brethren, I couldn't imagine being a king to say, God just delivered our nation from 1,000,000 men. What a victory Asa got. But it was through the strength and the power of God. And James says in verse number 10 of chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. It's the same principle I was teaching in Sunday school. You've got to go down in order for God to lift you up. You will, if you go up, what you're looking at is God's going to try to push you down. But if you want to be up there, you got to go down there. And when you go down there, God will then lift you up because you're humbling yourselves. You're walking as Ahab, when Ahab was rebuked and dealt with, the Bible says Ahab went around walking softly because he realized he offended a holy God. And God saw that and God showed Asa or Ahab some mercy. But the Bible says Ahab went around softly. Ahab humbled himself down. And if we're willing to humble ourselves down, God will give us the strength and God will be what we're looking for. We're looking to be lifted up and strengthened, but that can only happen when we're humbled. And then God will lift us up and strengthen us in his power and his might. Asa walked humbly with God and God gave Asa a great victory. But Asa also gets a warning from Azariah and says, don't forsake him. Don't forsake the God that gave you the victory you had. Because if you forsake your God and go after your own idols and your own thoughts and your own inclinations, you're going to turn around and find yourself that it's you doing it all and you're going to get defeated. You're not going to get defeated because God's forsaken you in the sense of leaving you out there to dry. You're going to get defeated because you're looking to your own strength to bring you to victories rather to your God to bring you to victories. Now that we're saved, God, thank the Lord, we don't have to worry about being forsaken. But we can lose fellowship. To where God says, we're going this way. You say, no, God, I'm going that way. And God says, okay, I'll just stay right here till you're willing to come back here so we can keep walking that way. And if you keep wanting to go that direction, keep going that direction, but it's to your own detriment. And it might just be to your own destruction. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians who know to do what's right, yet they continue on doing what they want to do, and God takes them out. It used to happen in the old churches. It used to happen when you lied against the Holy Ghost, God said, that's it, you're done. It used to happen when they would be partakers of the Lord's Supper. If they did it unworthily, they fell asleep. They died. Brethren, the principles in the Bible with our forefathers in the Scriptures, that they sinned against God and they knew and they kept going on in their sin as a believer, it would get to a point where God would say, that's it, I'm taking you home. We don't see that today. Because how many people really have trying to follow God according to the Scriptures? We're in the Laodicean church age. We are in the Laodicean church age. Jesus Christ is on the outside knocking to get in, because we got it all together. But Asa receives warning from Azariah. He says, listen, Asa, remember these things that I'm telling you. Thus, Asa listens. You see, when you look at this also concerning a nation, when a nation or an individual does not seek God and truth, they will face vexation and a lack of peace within their borders and lives. This vexation and trouble is often shown, or is shown in these verses, to come from God and not Satan. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 6. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Not Satan. God did vex them with all adversity. It makes me wonder today, brethren, if some of the things that our nation is facing is because of our turning our backs to God and His Word. This heat wave is not climate change. It's not because we got our carbon footprints everywhere. It's because of our sin in our nation. And most preachers today won't even touch that because they're scared to death. Our nation today, brethren, and I love our nation, our nation today is a wicked nation. It is an ungodly nation. It is an ungodly nation to where you can have a sodomite playing your piano in church and the church says it's okay. It is not okay with God. It is an abomination to God. And Asa, in order to hear from God and get the victory from God, put them out of the land. I'll probably get kicked off of YouTube for that, but that's fine. It's the truth. It's the truth. But see, we watch television, and I'm going to say this too this morning, there's nothing wrong with having a television. It's what you do with that television. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a gun, it's what you do with the gun. But I also wouldn't have a rattlesnake in my house either. As well, yes. Don't let the television numb you down to the sins that are in the Bible. Lord willing, maybe in September, October, I'm going to have a Pride Month. It's been on my heart. And I'm going to preach a series of messages through that whole Pride Month on why God hates pride. And what the true rainbow means in the Bible. And the true rainbow came after judgment. Against what? The wickedness of man, because his thoughts continually was only evil. Brethren, we're in trouble as a nation. And we're like that proverbial frog, whether it's true or not, that sits in the pot. They turn on the burner, and he just sits there swimming around, not realizing it's coming up the boiling point, and he's about to die. Because we've let things get watered down in our life by television, by movies, by everything else we spend time with. And before we know it, we're agreeing with things 5 years ago we never would have agreed with. Brethren, can you imagine some of the denominations within this nation 100 years ago thinking that sometime in the near future their denomination would allow a sodomite to play their piano in the hymns of God? Do you think John Wesley would approve to that? Do you think George Whitefield would approve to that? Do we think Charles Wesley would approve to that? David Livingston and all the other great men of 100 and 150 years ago. What would Abraham Lincoln think of that today? What would George Washington think of that today? What would Thomas Jefferson think of that today? What would some of the men of the old time think of what's going on in our country today? But see, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because we got our car out there. We got gas. We got air conditioning. We got nice soft seats. We got food, plenty of food in our refrigerator. We got every kind of clothing that we might want. We can choose whatever shoes we want to wear. And we're happy. So let things happen the way they are. As long as you keep giving me my toys, I'll be fine. Brethren, yet spiritually, we're done. We're done. God gives Asa warning. He says here in chapter 15, verse 7, look what God tells Asa. Be strong, therefore. You know why, Asa? Listen, God's telling him by the prophet Azariah, he says, Asa, be strong, therefore. Why? Why? Because there's going to come a time, Asa, there may be the possibility that you become weak. He says, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I'm telling you this morning, Christians, believers this morning, stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to this book. Don't turn your back on the Lord, and someday you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness. Stay faithful to God. Love Jesus Christ. And someday, listen, He will see what you've done and you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness to Him and to His Word. Don't lose hope. Strengthen your hands. Strengthen your heart and be strong. The Bible says, David said to Solomon, his son, he tells his son, he says, son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Why does David tell Solomon to fear not? Because fear will come. You know, fear will come when you try to stand for Jesus Christ and you try to stand for God's word. The devil and all the imps of hell and devils of hell will flood around you and you say, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk. Don't do this. Don't do that. He'll try to scare you out of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and what truth is. I'm not preaching a hate gospel tonight. I'm preaching a gospel that brings deliverance to souls. Amen. I'm preaching a gospel that brings deliverance to souls and their sin that they're in. The devil wants to keep us bound up and in chains and not be liberated and set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Take your Bible, look over there for a moment. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look what Paul finishes up telling the church there at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. He says here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men and be strong. That word quit means to carry through, to do or perform something to the end, that nothing remains. Go forward, don't quit, quit you like men. Be strong like a man. Finish it out like a man. Don't stop. Stay faithful to God. Finish the course that He's given you. Don't be discouraged by all that's going around you. And find victory and strength in your God. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, familiar verses says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity. As God provides opportunity, Paul tells the church at Galatia. He says, as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Be strong, continue on, don't forsake God, strengthen yourself in Him and in His Word, is what is told to Asa. Now look back at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Asa gains courage from the words of the Lord by this prophet, and goes about doing more work on the behalf of his God. Asa's already tried to purge out Judah and Benjamin from the false gods that were there, the high places and the groves. But now that God has given him victory and encouragement through this prophet, he continues on with his walk with God as a king, trying to clean things up and make it right. He advances into other areas of the kingdom and cleanses them from their abominable items and idols. Thus it should be in our own lives. We should continue to grow closer to the Lord in spirit and have more victories over the flesh. You see, what God desires is for us to get where God wants us to be. We ought not to be the same Christians we were last year. We ought to be walking more in the spirit today than we were yesterday. We ought to be gaining more victories over the flesh today than we did 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. I guess what I'm saying this morning is we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There ought to be growth. And so Asa gets a victory. Asa doesn't sit back at home, like I said last week, kick up his feet on the throne. Hey, say, bring me some of those grapes. Hey, bring me some of that spoil. Let me enjoy the laurels of my great victory. Because then he would have fallen into trouble. Asa says, listen, God's given me victory. God's given me victory. Not only God's given me victory, he's given me more of a kingdom now. Brethren, he's gone into Manasseh. He's gone into some realms of Simeon. Listen, it's just not Judah and Benjamin no more. Listen, the kingdom was divided. You had Judah and Benjamin, which was the kingdom of Judah, and then you had the other 10 tribes, which was the northern kingdom. God's now allowing Asa to have influence into the northern kingdom. And see, when you get victories in your life, you can use it, and God can use it in your life to then bring influence to other people because they can see the victories that God's given you. You can have more of an influence because you can say, look what God's done for me. And it will get other people to open their eyes and scratch their head and say, yeah, God's definitely doing stuff in your life and it's catching my attention. Can you imagine as the word spread very quickly that, hey, did you hear what the southern kingdom, the king did down there? Hey, King Asa, did you hear what he did down there? God gave them victory over the Ethiopians. God let him defeat over 1 million men. Oh, really? What is our king doing? Our king's putting us under more taxes. Our king's bringing us into more bondage. Our king's bringing him in more abominable idols for us to worship. I'm going to go down and follow the king down there in Judah. You see, do we make this world hungry after the things of God? When they look at our lives and what we have, how can we expect someone to want the God that we have when we always complain and murmur? Why would they want to have what we got? Because you're doing the same thing that they're doing. Imagine this, that you're, now I'm guilty of this, brethren, so I'll be the first one in line. But can you imagine the testimony of standing at the gas pump and the guy next to you or the woman next to you tries to make short conversation with you and says, ha, what kind of president we got 2 years ago, gas was $3.50, and you're like, yeah, you're right, yeah. I remember when gas was... Oh, my dear friend, we just fell right into the trap of the devil. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Why? Why would I need Jesus? Well, because, well, you were just complaining just like I was complaining. Instead of thankful that God's giving you the money to put gas in your gas tank. See, that's the testimony to the world. They still got money to put money in the gas in the gas tank, and you got money to put gas in your gas tank. And yet when you come together with the world doesn't see, I'm thankful to God. Yeah, I know the gas price is going up, but I got a good God. He's given me some money. He's provided for me. And thank God I can put gas in my gas tank. Rather than seeing that as a testimony, we fall into the same grumbling, complainings, which leads to what? Them not needing our Savior because they're still putting gas in their gas tank. Brethren, the world needs to see a difference. And the world at this time, for my illustration here, the world saw what God did with Asa. Because look down here at verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 15, verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of reign of Asa. I'm sorry, verse number 9. Latter part of verse number 9, chapter 15. Look what it says. When they saw, look what the Bible says here. When they saw that the Lord his God was with him. See what the Bible says there? People were watching Asa. And people took notice of the victory he got and what he was doing. And the Bible says, and when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. I'll ask this question this morning. When people look at you, do they see your Lord, your God with you? Because when they looked at Asa, they saw his God. And they gathered themselves together to him at Jerusalem. Asa was able to gain influence over Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. And when we let God work in our lives, and we can do those things that this world says it's impossible to do, like to be thankful in all situations, we might just win some people over to Jesus Christ. Now, verses, also the Bible says here that he repaired the altar of the Lord. Look there at verse number 8. He renewed the altar of the Lord. An altar means a place of sacrifice. Brethren, are there some altars in our life that we need to renew? Places of sacrifice. Brethren, I say this to my shame this morning, but I will have to say that I have not sacrificed for my Lord. I'll say this to my shame this morning. Asa, after he got those victories and he cleans house even more, the Bible says in chapter 15, verse 8, that he renews the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. That was one of the first things I think that people wanted to get rid of. You know what that altar represents? It represents sacrifice. It represents death. It represents fire. It represents that if you put something on that altar, it's not coming back no more. You know what? I haven't sacrificed for God. I haven't. I haven't gone with a couple meals in order to support missions more. I haven't decreased my grocery budget in order to help missions out more. I really can't think of much that I've really sacrificed right now for the cause of God. What have we sacrificed? What have we sacrificed to the Lord God? Asa renews that altar which was before the porch of the Lord. You see, the saints of old, they sacrificed some things. They sacrificed some great things, but then God also gave great victory. Now verse number 9. Verses 9 through 15, they offer sacrifice. They make a great covenant with God. It says in verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. After this great victory by Asa, trusting God, he inspires, he infuses into the hearts of those that are around him. He encourages those that are around him to not only follow him as he follows God, but he also encourages them and gets them to the point to where they're willing to enter into a covenant to where they say that they'll seek the Lord God, their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And they also added in verse 13 that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their hearts, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found to them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. God honors their zealousness. Don't ever try to put a damper on someone's zealousness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone's zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be able to help them and instruct them along, but God forbid we throw a wet blanket on it and try to put it out. We need more people today to be zealous of their God, to want to serve God with all their heart, with all their strength, with all their mind, with everything they have. And God sees this. God sees their covenant. God sees their heart. God sees the desire of their soul. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and God gave them rest round about. They get rest. They get rest for about 20 years. 20 years of rest. They enter into this covenant and they say, God, we're going to serve you with all that we have because you're a great God. And God gives them rest. Verse 16, Asa doesn't stop. This man don't stop. Verse 16, and Asa, or and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Asa continues to remove wickedness out of this kingdom to include his own grandmother. This was his grandmother. If you do some research and study the Bible out, this was Rehoboam's wife. She seems to still have been on the throne through Rehoboam, through Abijah, and now with Asa. She seems to have kept herself in this position as queen. And Asa gets to the point after these victories and after everything that God's doing in his life, and he comes up to his grandmother and says, hey, grandma, you're going to have to get off the throne. I'm removing you from the throne. Why? Because you're bringing idols into the kingdom. You're bringing false gods into the kingdom. And this happens in a lot of lives with Christians, is they're influenced by the woman. And a lot of men today, I'll say it again, are afraid to stand up and do what's right because they're afraid of what they might get back from their wives. Asa didn't care. Asa says, grandma, you got to get off the throne. You're not queen no more because you make idols in the grove. And not only am I going to cut them down and remove them, I'm going to stamp upon them and I'm going to burn them at the brook Kidron. What enthusiasm within the heart of King Asa for his God. Would to God that we had such concern and desire for the false gods that we sometimes allow to come into our own lives. A dedication to the things of the Lord are shown by his actions. Are we dedicated to the Lord? Are we sold out to the Lord to where we're willing to get rid of false idols and gods that are in our life? Lastly, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, Asa does all this work. He does a lot of cleansing and getting rid of things within the kingdom, even to the removing of his grandmother as queen. The Bible says that he brought and dedicated things for the temple. He brought things into the house of God that his father had. He renews the altar at the porch of the Lord. And he has about 20 years of quietness now, because the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 1, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So after 20 years of quietness and seeming peace within the kingdom, Asa gets word that the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, King Baasha, is going about to build this certain city called Ramah. And the reason he's building this city, I don't know completely where it's situated, But this city has some implication on allowing people to go down and come back from seeing King Asa and going down to Jerusalem to worship the true God at the true place of worship. And this king, with his intent, is to try to inhibit the people from going out and coming in from Asa. Then we find in verse number 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go and break the league, thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, and he may depart from me. And you've jumped down to verse 6. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timbers thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. 20 years of quietness. Baasha starts stirring something up. Asa falls. Instead of Asa going to God and asking God for insight and wisdom on what he should do concerning the situation with his brothers to the north, he goes and he sends money, not only his own money, but the money from the house of God to get help from an enemy of God to deliver him from his brother up there in the north who's causing him some issues. Asa goes to the world to get help for a situation between family, so to speak. Brethren, we ought never to go to the world to get spiritual help. We ought never to go to the world to get spiritual, and I'll even throw this in here, emotional help. Christians ought not to be wasting their money on self-help books from the world to try to provide help emotionally and spiritually. Your self-help book, and the only self-help book you need, is right here in this King James Bible. Amen. And God can give you the help you need if you'll do what the Bible says to do. But Asa, rather than going and getting guidance from God like he had done before, remember, he prayed when facing a great enemy of God. He prayed to God and he said, God, you can help with many or few. But now all of a sudden, because he's had 20 years of rest, for whatever reason, whether he got slack, whether he got slothful, I don't know what's going on in his heart. But all I do know is he's taken money out of the house of God and out of his own pocket to pay off the king of Syria to take care of Baasha, king of Israel. Look what happens in verse number 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. I'm about closing up here this morning. But Asa loses an opportunity to grab another great victory over an enemy of God. Asa's too concerned, worried about what's going on in the northern part of the kingdom, and not too concerned with what's going on with Syria, the enemy of God. And he loses, the Bible says, he loses an opportunity because they escaped out of his hand. Why? Because he relied on the king of Syria rather than relying on the Lord God. How many victories this morning are we letting slip through our fingers because we're relying too much on the gods of this world or our own intellect and understanding, and we're letting the victories slip through our hands because we're not relying wholly upon our God? He's let this one slip through his hands. Verse number 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and a very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Get the last of this here, brethren. This is important. Asa relies on the king of Seir rather than rely on God. And because that, God gives him a rebuke. And the Bible says in verse 9 that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. God will give you the strength and help you need if your heart is perfect towards him. But God's eyes went to and fro in the earth, and God's eyes saw Asa and what he did. And God tells Asa, "Herein thou hast done foolishly." You've done foolishly, Asa, in relying on this world to bring you help. From henceforth thou shalt have wars. You know why people continue on to have wars in their minds and in their hearts and never get the victory? Because their heart's not perfect towards God, and they keep relying on their own intellect and what this world is telling them to bring them the relief in their hearts and minds. Instead of trusting God with their perfect heart, with a perfect heart toward God, and leaning upon their God, realizing God can help with many or few, they try to do it themselves. And this is one of the most sad part of scriptures, just like reading about David. Verse number 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. Asa gets mad at the prophet proclaiming what God's told him. And instead of humbling down and saying, "You're right, I am the man. I've done wrong against God. But from this point forward, though I've done wrong against God, and though God says I'll have wars, in those wars, I will try to trust my God through those wars." No, he gets mad at the preacher and throws the preacher in the prison house. And not only does he throw the preacher in the prison house because he's mad at the preacher, the prophet, he's also mad at everybody else that's around him, and he oppresses them as well. The word oppress means to load or burden with unreasonable impositions, to treat with hardship. One of the ways you know people are getting dealt with by God is they start to take it out on everybody else that's around them. They get mad at the messenger. They won't shake their hand or fist at God, but they'll put the preacher in the prison house and then oppress everybody else that's around them. Rather than humbling down before God and before others and saying, "Yes, I've sinned against God. I relied upon the Syrians and not upon God. God forgive me and God help me to go forward." No, Asa caused problems for all that are around him. And it doesn't end there. A sad ending for Asa in verse number 11 and 12. "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel." And Asa, this is 3 years now after he's been rebuked by the prophet, at his 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Brethren, if God's trying to show you something this morning, if God's trying to work upon your heart this morning, don't get mad at the preacher. Don't take your anger out on some other brother or sister in the Lord. Get right with God. Humble yourself down before God and ask God to help you to face the rest of the wars you're going to face in your Christian walk. Don't let your feet get diseased. Are your feet diseased this morning? And I want to refer to his feet, your walk with God. Something happened with Asa. This man was a good man. This was a man that loved God. This was a man 23 years earlier had made a covenant with God, saying, "God, we'll serve you with all our heart and soul, dear God. And God, we'll make this covenant so strong with you, God, that if we know a man or a woman that won't do this covenant, God, we'll put them to death. God, we love you so much." Yet 23 short years later, his feet are diseased. And not only just diseased, he lets it go because he's so stubborn for whatever reason that his feet become exceedingly diseased. He's unwilling to yield. He's unwilling to bow the neck. He's unwilling to say, "God, I've sinned against you and the preacher. And the problem's not the preacher. The problem is me, God." And how many today want to blame the preacher? He's just too rough. He's just too mean. Am I preaching God's word? Is it Bible? You think I'm rough, brethren. Look at what I said this before. Look at what Nehemiah did. Ezra pulled the hair out of people's beards. Brethren, I ain't touched none of you. But God's ways sometimes are ways of a rebuke. Why? Because God loves us. Do you think God wants Asa, this king who has done so much for the kingdom, to go out with diseased feet? God sent that prophet to Asa because he loves Asa. God sent Nathan to David because he loved David. But we think everything should be done with love. And no. If somebody's getting ready to drive the car off the cliff, you better have somebody yelling. And I love you this morning. But are your feet diseased? Is your walk not what it used to be because you've let your heart get hard towards God? It's not the pastor. It's not your brothers and sisters that are around you that are making you so bitter and so angry. It's your own heart. And this prophet came to Asa and said, "You messed up. You've relied on the world rather than relying on God." And Asa said, "I ain't getting right. I ain't listening to that preacher. You know what? Put him in the prison house. Hey, the rest of you, get to work and do something for me." He starts oppressing the people around him and don't want to hear the preacher no more. Throw him in the prison house. I'm king in this. And God says, "Okay, son, you're king. Your feet are now diseased. And you're one miserable person to be around. Your walk's not what it used to be, Asa." And Asa dies in this position. And Asa's heart is so hard that he won't seek after God. He'll go to the physicians. He'll go to the world to try to find help for his feet. But the only place he's going to find help for his feet is with his God. And the only place you're going to find help for your feet is with God. Not in some self-help book. Not in some psychologist. Not in some psychiatrist. Not in the television, not in alcohol, not in drugs, or anything else that you're going to look for help with the walk with your feet. It's only going to be found by humbling down before God and getting it right with God, and maybe God will come in and heal your feet. But Asa was so stubborn, he'll go to the doctors, but he won't go to God. And how many of you will go to other places to get help, but you won't come to the preacher? You'll go to other groups, you'll go to other helps, you'll go to websites, you'll go to everything else, but you won't come to the preacher. He's just too mean. You can't talk to him. Maybe it's you don't want to hear the message.
That's it.
Brethren, you believe me or not, I love you. I love each one of you. I try to pray for each one of you. I say these things, though they may come across rough, I say them in love. I don't want our feet to be diseased. And if they are, I want you to go to the great physician for help. The great physician. Rather than humbling down, Asa goes to physicians. Two verses. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Verse number 14 in chapter 16. "And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a grave, very great burning for him." Asa dies in his 41st year. I wonder tonight, this morning, brothers, as I close up, I wonder if God wanted to do more for Asa, but because of Asa's stubbornness, God said, "Sorry, you're out, we're moving on to the next one." Because Asa wasn't willing to get his feet right with God. And God says, son, you've done good for me so far, but in these last couple of years, for whatever reason, you've gone back on me. You're out, and now your son Jehoshaphat is coming in. 1 John 2:8. I wasn't going to read it, but I need to read it. 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the life, look at this now, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. That's a saved person with diseased feet. You don't even realize the darkness you're walking in, and you're stumbling all over things, and you're getting mad because you're stumbling and getting hurt. But it's because you got hatefulness in your heart towards your brother. And you're walking on in darkness. You don't even realize you're stumbling because it's blinded your eyes. God, help us this morning with our walk with God. I thank God this morning for King Asa. But I'll ask this morning, is there a problem with your feet this morning? Is there a disease with your walk with God and it's affecting your heart and attitude towards others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, and I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that these words just wouldn't go in one ear and out the other, Lord. I pray these words from your Bible, dear God, would affect our heart, Lord. Lord, that we would examine ourselves, Lord, to see the state of our feet. And as we looked at in the Sunday school hour, the state of our heart. Lord, help us to look honestly at ourselves and where we're at with you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, if you reveal some things to us this morning, Lord, we would not be stubborn like Asa and harden our hearts and go other places for help rather than to you. Help us to rely upon you and your word. And so, Lord, lead, God, and direct, and help us this morning. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. If you take a hymn book, we'll close with a hymn this morning. Page number 407. Ellie, I think you can play this one. Page number 407. If you take a blue hymn book, if you can stand, I'd like to close with this hymn this morning.
the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save the sinners. We're so grateful, Lord, with all the people that have come to thee and confessed their sins to be saved. We pray for anyone here that isn't saved, that they do it today before they leave. We do thank thee for a good pastor and good preaching that we have.
Yes.
We're so grateful that we're sound in doctrine, and that's the way we should always be.
Amen.
We just pray, Lord, as we leave here today, that we have safety, and for those that are coming tonight, bring them back safely.
Amen.
We thank thee, Almighty God, and love thee, and we thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hey, dismiss the world's heat tonight. Amen.